And it is 5:30. That means it is time on KQSS for District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey for the monthly community meeting. How are you, Tim?
I'm fine, Rolly. How are you today?
Well, now that we solved all the world's problems waiting to come on, I'm just peachy. So.
Yeah, good. No, everything's good. I just wanted to let everybody know that I had a Roosevelt meeting today at 1 o'clock. I had 37 people in the Baptist Church there on the hill for that meeting. So if you are interested and want to call in, Rolly, throw them the number.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. 37 people got out of their houses, went to this meeting in person, and all you have to do is get to the phone. A pox on your house if you don't call. That's 888-876-5593.
888-ROLLYE. Thank you. Anyway, rolling on. You're welcome to call, and I'll talk about anything that you'd care to, but other than that, I got a few things to go over. I attended the ribbon cutting at the Russell Gulch landfill. That expansion has been completed. It's gone through ADEQ, so we're open and running. And the dollar dump day's back for the second Saturday of the month. And I just want to say, cover your loads, because if you have unsecured loads, they're charging you like $10. I think I showed up the other day, and you know, I had a pretty tight load. It wasn't blowing out, but still, if you're not covered, you know, they hit me for an extra $10. So yeah. I would say cover your load, because your dollar dump day could be an $11.
Well, right. No, absolutely. And there's a big sign right at the entrance of the dump that tells you it's going to be a fine if your load is not covered.
Right. And part of that, you know, that's not on us. That's ADEQ, part of the regulations of opening the landfill.
Sure.
But all the back roads to the landfill, you know, paper and anything, plastic bags that would blow out of the back of a truck, those people are tired of it. So, you know, it's a good deal to cover the load. And I went to the, like, Walmart, and a 6x8 tarp was, I think, $6.
Right.
So it's not as if it's going to break anybody to tarp a load in. But anyway, and then I attended an APS Energy Update meeting.
How did that go?
You know, they just talked about things that they were doing and kind of the future coming with APS and you know, God love them. Hey, we got it. We got energy. You know, but yeah, there's a lot of things going on, and you know, they talked about getting rid of their coal plants, and I asked them, you know, pretty much, is that your choice or because you have to? And he kind of said because they have to.
Right. Yeah. Right. And meanwhile, they're proud to be an overhead company. Nothing is buried. Nothing is stable. There, you know, there's not good redundancy. But they'll have no coal.
Right. Well, you know what? I guess right now it's better than kerosene and candles.
Sometimes I wonder.
Well, you're liable to find out.
But that's right. I sure did over the weekend. Yes, sirree, Bob.
Yes, sirree, Bob. You got your candles and your kerosene lighters and heaters.
Well, what I love is when it's bad enough if the power's going to go off. All right, we got generators everywhere. I shouldn't really care. But when they have a situation where it goes off, it immediately comes back on. It goes off, it comes on. It does that three times. You have equipment that basically says, we give up the ghost.
I guess. But anyway, you know, that was the way it was, and they presented as they did, and I attended as I was asked to do.
And smiled.
And smiled, yeah. But anyway, then on the 5th of December, I held a Tonneau Basin meeting. That was interesting. There's a lot of, I guess, new development going on now that bridge is going to be completed in about 7 months. And so, you know, there's a lot of permitting issues and things of that nature. So that was a good meeting, but it was controversial on a lot of different things. And so there were some people there that were going to reset a meeting for some of the key players and some of the development to sit down and get squared away, because with staff and those people, so that there's no gray areas, and so we get everybody on the same page. And so, you know, because in an hour we can't solve everybody's problems, but we did realize that we did have some issues, that we are going to have a more or less special meeting for those people with issues to get everybody, everything figured out. So we'll have that meeting probably this week or first to next,
okay.
As everybody's schedules go. And then Roosevelt Community Meeting, that was today, and it was a real good meeting. Had a lot of people there. No real major issues. A lot of people just come for, you know, to, well, they, some of them have issues that they are asking us about, but a lot of it, they just come for the information, because we have a lot of things going on in different places. And like I said, the sheriff's office, ADOT, and county staff, Forest Service, a lot of those people show up, so they get a lot of information, because those other departments are using my meetings for their public
Perfect.
Outreach. So yeah, so that works out pretty good. And then I'll hold a Gaisela community meeting on December the 16th at 9.
Ah.
And so that's good. And I helped with a little grant for the town of Miami for $2,000 to help them with their small town Christmas event.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and they have some kids come even from out of town, and they have little mm-hmm. gifts. I think that one year they gave everybody a book or something.
That's very nice.
So that's going to be on December the 16th at yeah. 5 at the Veterans Park in Miami.
Which is this weekend.
Which is this weekend, yeah. And they do a real good job, and it's real good for the community. And Discover Gila County. That's a great thing. I remember years ago when I was on the Industrial Development Authority before I became a supervisor, we thought, you know, we need to make Globe a destination, not a pass-through.
Right.
And so we kind of presented it to the Board of Supervisors at that time, and they didn't seem to go with it. But when I became a supervisor with Supervisor Martin and Supervisor Klein, we decided it'd be a good idea, but not to compete with the Tonto Basin Chamber and the Globe Chamber and all the other Payson
right.
Chamber, but to kind of maybe take lead and help everybody. And so Cameron Davis from Razor's Edge, he did a presentation mm-hmm. at the Board of Supervisors, and it's amazing. They got a national award, which was a great thing, and I believe that's like the 10th award that Discover Gila County has gotten in the last 5 years.
It's a nice website, discovergilacounty.com. It's nicely done.
Yeah, it is. And you know, after that, you know, Cameron, it did a presentation, and the site has been viewed almost 4 million times mm-hmm. To date. We have also produced promotional videos for Gila County that have aired on Hulu and Arizona Family.
Good.
These videos were seen by 1.5 million viewers.
Good.
There has been a direct increase in travel spending in Gila County of 362.7 million dollars
mm-hmm.
and a 28.6 million dollar increase in tax revenues in 5 years.
That's great.
So that's great. And I that just tickles me, because you know the old story, plant a seed, and you know that's a seed that we planted, and to watch it go and get these awards and do things
mm-hmm.
and what the normal people don't realize is by increasing sales tax by that amount, we don't have to reach out for property tax increases.
Right, absolutely.
And the people that say that, you know, their taxes are going up, that's not Gila County. That's because the valuation of your property's gone up, the college is getting more money, or some of these other tax sure. entities are getting increased. But it's not the supervisors increasing your property taxes. So this was a great deal that we went into that has created all that extra money in Gila County, and it's made it a destination for a lot of people
sure
to come. And so That's really tickles me to see that doing.
Yeah, logistically it's important because it's interesting how many cars, of course, come through here every day, what, something like 30,000 or whatever. But the problem is if you're just looking at somebody who's starting a trip and starting their day, say, in Phoenix, it's only an hour and a half later, they're not stopping here. They're going to the next place, they'll get lunch somewhere else. So it almost has to be a destination to capture that traffic.
Yes, it does, yeah. They have to come here, and we've got so much going on. You know, you got to thank Globe for their first Saturday and Miami for their
first Friday.
Globe for first Friday and Miami for the second Saturday. And you know, I mean, everybody's trying to create an atmosphere that people want to come to, and I just think it's a great deal. And there is a lot of things to appreciate, not only our panoramic views, but you know, the food, the wineries. So I think it's great because we're getting a lot of people to know of things of that nature.
Good.
And I was kind of discouraged here a while back. We at the November 11th Board of Supervisors meeting, there was Vertical Bridges was doing a CUP, which is asking for conditional use permit to build a 165-foot cell tower at Jake's Corner, which is, you know,
I've heard about
evidence
this.
Where Jake's Corner is.
Yes.
And, you know, our Planning and Zoning Commission, they did public meetings, they did public reach out, and they couldn't find a reason not to build the cell tower. Because it's on private property, there's a private company wants to build it. The FCC had not an issue with it, you know, then a flood zone, but they had designed it to where, you know, the flood zone wasn't a problem. So if you do your research, there was absolutely no reason for them not to build it. And when it came to vote time, the other two supervisors voted against me on the cell tower. And that really kind of turned me around because, like I say, I live out there, and many, many times my phone has SOS. In other words, I have a phone I can't use, and Roosevelt is a huge recreational area, and people flock there in, you know, for the hunting seasons and the fishing and the bass tournaments and things, and phone service is horrid. So I really didn't understand why they voted against me. And I can't talk to them, so I can't say, what were you thinking?
Well, I was wondering, too, when I heard that. And I think there is a backstory on an emotional level of the people who live there. And they're very upset that Jake's Corner, the store, has pretty much been closed, and they don't see that as being a legitimate closure and all this, and their fear is that if we allow for this tower there, we're not going to get that store open.
Yeah, but planning and zoning says that's not going to jeopardize them opening
another
store.
Right?
No, that's that store.
Right? Absolutely.
I mean, there's a cell tower in the parking lot of the church that I had my Roosevelt meeting at today.
Right. No, understood. But good luck on dealing rationally with people who are coming at it emotionally.
I guess. And but that store wasn't open when it sold.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean,
know. And people are upset about that. I'm not, by the way, I'm not defending this in any way.
I understand.
I'm just explaining that there is an undercurrent, a subtext.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, here you are presenting a rational argument to an emotional group.
Oh, yeah. No, believe me, I very much understand.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, it's just that we're at the point, it's like, you know, I really apologize that, you know, you think this is a bad deal, but I it's never been proven that they're jeopardizing anybody's health. I as far as I know, no one has ever presented anything to me that cell towers are creating health issues.
Well, if they are, not in the radius we're talking about where people live. You know,
right.
It's a different argument if you're building it directly in their backyard attached to their house, but they're not. But you're right about the lack of cell service, and this is a problem. It's particularly a problem, as you well know, when you're going from Globe, Miami to the Valley. on Highway 60.
Right.
You have absolute dead zones.
Right.
And, you know, because there's two things that happen is, you know, one is you lose your data, but the other is you lose your ability to make that emergency call. And
right.
we have quite a bit on Highway 60 of areas where you can't do it. Now, arguably, for centuries or certainly decades, we were driving without the use of a cell phone. But at this point in time, when you're talking 20 minutes where you're in no service whatsoever, it's a problem.
It could be, yeah. And like I say, you know, in the recreational area, all the boaters and everything, and even more so on the weekends because, you know, everybody's on FaceTime and doing things. And so, you know, they really cloud up everything. So I was supportive of the cell tower, and I was real surprised that the other supervisors didn't see my side in my district.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think if I was voting against something in their district,
because this is your district,
I would spend more time doing research.
Because this is your district.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
And,
so,
yes, and Jake's Corner is in my district.
Exactly.
As well.
With that in mind, there's probably no way to directly revisit this, but is there another way to skin the cat? Is there another way to propose a cell tower somewhere else that will have the same effectivity?
Well,
effectiveness.
Always. You know, I mean, there's always different ways. Well, I'm looking to support anything that any of the cell tower people or T-Mobile or any of those people mm-hmm. would support. But,
yeah.
You know, but like I say, in my deal, it's not that I'm throwing rocks on my constituents. I'm really not. You know, I care for them and I understand their view. But I have to look at the better of Gila County and the people that visit Gila County. And so, you know, that's just mine because I have to try to help the majority, the people that are there for recreation and can't do 911, the elderly that are in their homes and don't have cell service. And what if something happens to one of them and they need to call 911 or something of that nature.
It's a problem.
And so, like I say, if there was major evidence why mm-hmm. it shouldn't happen,
mm-hmm.
I'm more than willing to listen. But as you say, if it's an emotional response over safety, I have to choose safety.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I have a feeling, from what I could tell, you were there, that very few people expected this turndown. That Vertical Bridge and T-Mobile and everybody thought, well, this is going to pass. Everybody says it's okay. What's the problem? So I think that sudden opposition emotionally caught people off guard.
Don't know. Like I say, I can't talk to the other supervisors.
No, you can't, because
it's
you were there and it caught you off guard.
Well, not really. I, you know, because a lot of those letters you get way ahead of time.
You were expecting.
You know, you know, I mean, you get, and also too, you know, from doing research and talking to the community, to our community development and also the commission that did all the public hearings.
Right.
You know, I called those our volunteers that sat on that board and asked them, you know, what's the deal and you know, where are we at and what's the opposition and what's your research, you know? And so I was pretty much expecting it because I talked to the people that did the public hearings.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was kind of expecting it. I was looking for more of a meaty subject on why we shouldn't.
Now, was there an issue, and I read this and I don't remember where, but that the public hearings weren't notified correctly or people felt they didn't have input at them or there was some issue?
Yeah, what had happened is the commission had to do a public hearing,
right,
to listen to the people,
mm-hmm.
and they did have that meeting, I believe they put it to a vote for the commission, and what that commission does, the vote has nothing to do with whether the cell tower gets built or doesn't get built, mm-hmm. the commission just vote to approve or not approve a special use permit.
Right.
And then that carries on to the Board of Supervisors, whom do make the decision.
Correct.
So okay, with that said, they did do the public hearing.
And they did it properly, and it was notified properly, and nobody could complain.
And they did, and that was proper. But there were some issues come up at that public hearing.
Okay.
And one of them was with the FCC, can they build a cell tower that close to an existing cell tower?
Oh, you mean another tower?
Yeah, and there is a tower.
Oh, there is a tower. Okay.
I think it's like within 800 feet or something. All right. I'm not sure. And so one of the questions was, okay, can they build that tower there according to the FCC rules, regulations?
Usually.
Well, yeah, but nobody could answer that at the public hearing.
Correct.
And the commission did not know. And the other one, is it in a flood zone?
Correct.
Or floodway? And nobody knew off the top.
Correct.
So what they did is they couldn't make a decision.
Yes.
Or they weren't happy with it, because they made a vote and it was like 2-2 or something. But there again, that vote doesn't count anyway. That's just what's referred to the Board of Supervisors. It's an advisory to the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is they said, we're going to get some more information and then we're going to make our decision. So what they did is they got that information and then they had to open a meeting to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They opened the meeting and they made that decision. And that's what upset the public, because they didn't get a chance to speak again. Well, they didn't have to do two public meetings. The reason they did the second public meeting is because they had to open and
right.
And vote, because they didn't do it on the first one because they had to see about some more information.
Right.
And so, yes, staff did make a mistake when they posted the second meeting, because the posting that they did, I guess you only got one sign because you only have one public hearing.
Right.
So when they did the second one, they posted the information that they had, but it said people could speak, and it didn't, and the second meeting did not allow them to.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to the county attorney, they didn't have to let them speak at two meetings. They have to have one public meeting.
Right. Well, the second meeting was a follow-up just once they got their FCC and flood zone information to say, now we vote.
Yes.
So
yes.
That meeting, while it needed to be open, in terms of the rules of order, didn't need to be anything. But here we are. We got this information. Here's how we vote. Thank you and good night.
Right. And that's what upset everybody, because they voted to build the tower because they had no reason not to.
Right.
And the people were upset about the vote because they thought that was going to build or not build the tower. But then I spoke to a lot of people on the phone as well that were calling in and complaining, and I let them know that made no decision.
Right.
And when it comes to the Board of Supervisors, you can express yourself there because we have a call to the public.
Right.
And so anyway.
Well, and obviously it was proved that held no water, because the supervisors voted against what the advisory vote was.
No.
The majority, of the three. Let me ask you just for the heck of it, who owns that nearby tower, the 800-foot?
You know, I don't know,
because I wonder where they are in this argument.
Well, I think they're completely against it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, because that's direct competition.
But T-Mobile has nothing on their tower, from what I understand.
Well, right, but the answer is now they may have to.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Well, right, if they choose to serve the area, of course.
But I would guess in that too, where your space on the tower depends on what direction you can cover, and if it doesn't serve your purpose, then why would you go through the expense of building your own tower?
Right.
So I'm thinking that T-Mobile felt they had to, or they wouldn't. Who would go through that expense for nothing?
Well, it depends on if they wanted the autonomy, because those leases are not only about money. There's 20 pages usually of conditions. And so if you've got a tower and the tower owner is saying, look, A, B, and C are important to me, and T-Mobile is saying, well, we want to avoid that, we'll just build.
And That's a free country. I mean, well, there's private property.
Oh, sure.
And you get a permit to do it, and you can do it.
Right. Absolutely. No, it sounds like everyone in this discussion has their agenda, pro, con, what have you. It's a recipe for dissatisfaction either way. But I understand your frustration, because what you're saying is, all right, that's all well and good, but show me one reason legally why this shouldn't be approved.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, well.
And rule me over safety. I'm doing it for safety. You know, for the people that visit, for the people that live there, to try to have better cell service.
Well, and for coverage, because again, when you're talking about websites like Discover Gila County, getting to Gila County has no cell service, that can be a determinant. Well, we won't take that route.
Yeah, we're not going to go there anymore because we don't have cell service.
I mean,
if we have a flat tire, we can't call our repair guy or whoever.
The day will come after we're gone when none of this will matter, because the coverage will be ubiquitous. But for the next 20 years, it's an interesting rollout.
It is, and you know, where it'll go from here, we'll just see, you know. But I'm still in supportive of safety over emotion.
Right.
And that's just where I'm at. So you know, the people that think I'm a bad guy, I'm not really a bad guy, but I got to choose safety over emotions. But
it's going to be interesting.
And, you know, going on, you know, the other thing that goes is, you know, we had to do some ordinances on short-term rentals because of all the complaints of people, you know, misusing short-term rentals. And, you know, that's what I said. I'm for less government, not more government.
Right.
But it seems in today's world, we're having to create ordinances for feeding animals and for short-term rentals. You know, just the way the world's going, if people are feeding out to the point that they become a danger to the neighborhood, you know, it's forcing government to take a role that I don't want to roll. And like the ordinances for short-term rentals. If your septic system is only good for four people and you got 30 people there for a week.
For the week, yeah.
You know, I mean, that creates a problem. And also, too, in a neighborhood, any neighborhood, you take 20 cars and put them in a little neighborhood, you can have a bunch of angry neighbors.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. No, this is across the country a problem to one degree or another everywhere. Right. This is not unique.
Right.
And no one thought they would have to address this. But as it becomes so easy to sublet your property with nine zillion websites now that you can just sign up and go there and show up and there you are, that, some order to that is required, because apart from 30 people showing up in the apartment for four, is the fact that, let's say you are a couple with a couple young children, and every week there's someone different right next to you. You start to, who are these people? What? How do I know? How are they vetted? Etc. So there's and of course the property owner says, well, it's none of your business. We can do what we want. So absent regulations, it becomes the Wild West. So what did you do?
So we passed ordinances.
And what are they?
I don't know them all off the top of my head, but I'm sure they're on the Gila County website on ordinances passed for short-term rentals.
Okay, and this would be for the whole county now. How about areas that are in incorporated cities like Globe and Miami?
This is the unincorporated Gila County. Unincorporated Gila County.
Right, so if you're Central Heights, it covers you. If you're in the city of Globe, it doesn't.
It does not.
Got it.
No. But anyway, there again, because of all the complaints and things we're getting, we felt that we had to create that ordinance, or why would we spend the time doing it? If we didn't feel if it was necessary.
Right, right. And at some point, there is also economic involvement. A number of communities have made it that you must license, and there is an annual fee, because something has to take care of that. So
yeah, and that's what we're doing as well.
Okay.
And to help pay for the policing of it.
You're right.
You know, and a lot of people say, well, why do you have them at all? You know, why do you got to do it? And it's like, well, the state of Arizona says we have to have them.
Well, and even if they didn't, again, because human nature prevails, and if we don't have some set of regulations, it does become the Wild West.
Yeah, everybody thought the Wild West was gone.
No.
It's being reinvented every day.
Well, it's anywhere where there's no structure.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and where there hasn't been.
Right.
Build a bridge and see the chaos it causes.
Oh, well, yes. Ask anyone in Tonto Basin about that.
Yeah. It creates a whole new Wild West out there.
Exactly.
But anyway, you just have to love life and the challenges of it, you know, and as things come up, you just have to go forward, you know.
Yeah.
But like I say, safety and the people who live here are first for me.
Of course.
You know, and the people that want to come here on Airbnbs, God, I love you, but if the people live here 24/7, they're going to kind of take precedence over the people that want to spend a week here.
Well, right, especially if it is 37 people and their cow.
Yeah, right. And they can't, and they don't have a place to keep their cow, so they let it eat your grass.
Well, that's right.
No, but it's all good, Raleigh. And, you know, a good thing, too, is since, I'll go this real fast because I know we're on the mayor's time here pretty quick.
But, that's all right.
But anyway, we're working with FEMA, which is a federal government, and we're doing new maps, working with FEMA and their LIDAR, where they reflect off the ground, because everybody knows that our flood zones and floodways maps were done tons of years ago, and they're not correct. And so we're working with FEMA to get them correct.
All right.
And so anyway.
You've been busy.
It's been great. Good to visit with you, Raleigh.
Likewise.
I always enjoy it very much. Yeah. And everybody, if you didn't get a chance to call in or the phone was busy and you couldn't get in, you're more than
and
welcome.
And you wouldn't even walk to the phone. So there's two things. You can call, you can email, or you can call Tim, and all that information is right there on KQSS.net. You'll see the phone numbers and the email addresses. And in case you missed one word of the spellbinding program, it will replay again on Sunday morning on KJAA, and it will be online in perpetuity on KQSS.net. Thanks for coming, Tim.
Thank you, Raleigh. Have a good evening.
All right, you too.